Okay, if you have your Bible in Mark chapter 10, you know, we've been going through the book of Mark, and now we're at the famous story of the rich young ruler. William Borden, known as Borden of Yale, was born in 1887 in Chicago, and his family, he was a very wealthy, rich young man. His family owned the largest dairy company in America called Borden. You'll still see around America, but Borden actually invented evaporated milk and sweetened condensed milk, which we use a lot in Hong Kong, and he was the heir to the fortune. When he was a young man, his mother went to church and became a believer and started taking him to church as well, and he became a Christian. When he graduated high school at the age of 16, his parents gave him a gift. And that gift was they gave him a trip around the world. He was very wealthy. It was very common to do back then. He was not alone. He was with a missionary. And they visited numerous countries along the way. And Borden became convinced after seeing so many countries around the world where there was no gospel witness that he should become a missionary. He graduated in 1912 from Yale University, and he was ordained, and he was convinced that he should go to a people group that he had heard about in China, a Muslim people group, I believe it was the Hui people, and he wanted to be a witness to them, and he was going to do whatever it took to get there. So he decided that he would go to Cairo, Egypt, and study Arabic and learn a lot about Islam. And he went there in 1912. On March 21st of the same, wasn't there very long, he was taken ill with spinal meningitis, and 19 days later he died in Cairo, Egypt, April the 9th, 1913. He never made it to China. When he died, though, his Bible was returned to his parents, and when they opened his Bible, on the inside cover of his Bible, they saw these words, "No reserves." Those words were written on the date when he decided that he would not take over the family wealth. He would instead forgo that and go to be a missionary. No reserves. On a later date, underneath those words, he wrote these words, "No retreat." No retreat. And then during his illness, right before he died, he wrote underneath those words, "No reserves, no retreat." He wrote the words, "No regrets." Dr. Samuel Zwemer, who was a famous missionary in the Middle East, he said this at his funeral. He said this, that Borden felt that life consisted not in the abundance of things that a man possesses, but in the abundance of things that possess the man. So like the rich young ruler, but unlike the rich young ruler, Borden had a great wealth, but he gave it all up to follow Jesus Christ. As we look in Mark chapter 10, this famous passage, we're going to see three conversations today. Three conversations. Number one, the conversation is between Jesus and the rich young man, and then the conversation between Jesus and his disciples, and then a conversation really between Peter and Jesus, but the disciples probably definitely overheard that. Let's pray together quickly. Lord, I pray now that you would open our eyes that we might behold wonderful things in your word, that you might speak to our hearts. And that you might rid our hearts of any treasure but yourself. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Matthew's gospel tells us that he is young. It's a young man. Luke's gospel tells us that he is a ruler. And Mark's gospel just simply says he's wealthy. But we know him as the rich young ruler. He comes to Jesus with a question. What is his question he comes to Jesus with? A very important question. The question is this: what must I do to inherit eternal life? So he wants to know about eternal life. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus points him to the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. If you have your Bible, you can look down in Mark chapter 10, verse 19. Jesus says to him, "You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud your neighbor. Honor your mother and father." And the man replied, "I've kept these. I've kept all of these since my youth." And Jesus, in verse 21, it says that Jesus loved him. Isn't it interesting? Mark's the only one that records this, by the way, that Jesus looked at him. He loved him. The word is agape. He looked at him and loved him. And so Jesus, in love, presses on him a little bit. What does he say? Jesus says to him in verse 21, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me." What does he do? Does he say, "Okay, like Zacchaeus, I'm going to go right now and give away. If I've caused anybody any wrong or I've cheated anybody, I'm going to repay that"? No. What does he do? It says, disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful. The word there is cloudy, gloomy. He walked away from Jesus. And the scripture says, for he had great possessions. He did not do what Bill Borden did with his fortune. Instead, he held on to it. He has a choice: Jesus or possessions. Jesus or the stuff. Jesus or money. And he chooses possessions. Jesus calls him, "Choose your treasure. Am I your treasure, or is it something else?" Very similar to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says this: "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy," especially in Hong Kong, "and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Notice that. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot." Notice it says, doesn't say you should not. It says you cannot serve God and money. So the conversation number one, Jesus with the rich young ruler, could be summarized this way: to follow Jesus is to treasure Jesus. What does it mean to follow Jesus? It means to treasure Jesus. Jesus is the greatest treasure in the universe. And those who wish to be saved must lay all other treasures down. To follow Jesus is to treasure, to cherish, to adore, to have affection for Jesus. You see, Jesus was getting at his affections. Jesus was getting at his heart. Not the commandments, but at his heart. There's nothing wrong with money. There's nothing wrong with possessions, but we mustn't treasure those things. They mustn't be dear to our hearts. Possessions and money are to flow into us and are to flow out of us. They are to flow in and they are to flow out. Because If they stay too long, then they tend to rule over us. Jesus called him to come and follow, and to follow Jesus is to treasure Jesus. That's conversation number one. Hey, Leha, is my microphone too loud? It seems too loud to me. Like I'm talking very softly because I think it's too loud. Yeah, I want to yell a little bit, so I'm afraid I'm going to... Okay. All right, the conversation number two is the conversation with the disciples. Conversation number two is with the disciples. So I don't know if you see in your Bible, there's a clear break there. There's a clear break between the guy has walked away, rich young ruler has gone, and now Jesus is going to talk to his disciples. What does he say? He looked around and he said to his disciples, two statements. In verse 23, he says, how difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. And then verse 24, children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Two statements and two responses by the disciples. What are the disciples' responses? The first response was they were amazed, and the second response was they were exceedingly, this is a really interesting word, they were not just astonished, but they were shell-shocked, we might say in American English. They were completely shocked, exceedingly astonished. Why? Why were they so shocked that Jesus would say that it's very difficult to enter the kingdom of God, or it's impossible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle? Why did they say that? Because most Jews believed at that time, though they did not believe that you were going to be saved because you had money, wealth would not buy you into heaven. But if you had wealth or possessions, it was at least a sign of God's blessing. It was at least a sign of God's blessing. Think about it. If you've got loads of camels and loads of sheep and lots of money, wouldn't you say God's blessed you? So you have money and it seems like God is shining on you. That was the popular thought of the day. That's one reason why they were astonished. And Jesus says that it's easier for a camel, I don't know if you've ever seen a camel before, but they're quite large. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. What does he mean? Well, you may have heard this story of, oh, well, in Jerusalem there's this small gate and it's really tough to get through, and so the camels, they have to offload the bags and everything, and then they have to get behind and push. That's actually not found anywhere in history that's what this is referring to. It's just, actually, it's contradictory to what Jesus actually meant. What Jesus really means is that it's impossible for a huge animal called a camel to go through the little tiny eye of a needle. Look at the Bible. Look what it says. And their response tells us that it wasn't just something that was difficult. Right? They said, then who can be saved? Then who can be saved? And Jesus looked at them and he said, with man it is impossible. Not difficult. With man it is impossible to be saved, to save yourself, but not with God. But not with God. For all things are possible with God. So what a great statement. All things are possible with God, including salvation. This is very much related to the rich man's question. What must I do? What must I do to inherit the kingdom? And what's the answer? There's nothing you can do. It's impossible. Just like a camel cannot go through a needle. I can't even get a string thread through a needle, much less a camel. Man can't do anything. It's impossible. It's impossible for a rich man to treasure Jesus over his riches. And it's impossible for anyone to treasure Jesus apart from God. So the conversation with the disciples can be summarized this way. Conversation with a rich man can be summarized this way. The rich man was, to follow Jesus means you must treasure Jesus. The conversation with the disciples is this: treasuring Jesus Christ is a work of God's grace. Treasuring Jesus Christ is a work of God's grace. It's impossible. It's impossible on your own to just come to your senses and say, I love Jesus, without God working in you. Only God can cause you to see and savor Jesus Christ in such a way that you treasure Him. God can open eyes. God can open ears. God can soften hearts of stone and make them hearts of flesh. And God can raise the spiritual dead to life. I could give you a lot of verses. Let's look at one, John 6:44. One of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. John 6:44. No one can come to me. No one can come to me. Sounds like impossible, right? No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. If you treasure Jesus Christ today above money, if you're in this room and you treasure Jesus Christ today above money, houses, wife, land, your PhD degree, or your fame, it's because of God's grace. And because God caused you to treasure Christ. So to follow Jesus is to treasure Jesus. And only God can cause you to treasure Jesus. So the last conversation between Peter, let's look at what it says. Peter began to say to him, see? Interesting, right? Peter began to say to him, see? We have left everything to follow you. And Jesus said, Peter, you stop that right now. Quit talking like that. No, what did Jesus say to him? Jesus said to him, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. Yeah, we will suffer persecution. But in the age to come, eternal life. And many who are first will be last, and the last first. There's some of you in this room who this verse may mean a lot to. There's some of you in this verse that because you said, I treasure Christ for the sake of Christ and for the gospel, maybe you have suffered. And Jesus says, what? What does he say to Peter? Peter says, we've left everything. Leave everything for your sake, Jesus, and the gospel. Rich young ruler wouldn't do it. What's in it for them? What's in it for us? We do without here on this earth. Maybe we're the last. Maybe we don't ever have a nice house. We don't have all this stuff. Maybe we're persecuted. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? So number three, choosing Christ over other treasures will be worth it. 40 billion years from now, when you're with Jesus Christ, it will be worth it. Any amount of things that you might have given up to follow Christ and the gospel, it'll be worth it. Because you get to treasure Christ forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And this stuff will mean nothing to us 40 billion years from now. And do you know why it will be worth it? Do you know why it will be worth it? Because Jesus Christ is a rich young ruler. There are two rich young rulers in this story. There's one rich young ruler who ruled a little bit of stuff here on this earth. And he was called to let it all go and to follow the ruler of the universe. They were probably about the same age. Probably early 30s. Jesus owns the universe. He is more wealthy, more rich than any young man, more than Bill Borden, more than this rich young ruler, more than the disciples, or more than any of us could ever imagine. He is rich. The rich young ruler maybe had some houses, and Jesus owns galaxies. The rich young ruler had maybe some gold coins and all of the gold in the universe belongs to Jesus. And Jesus has the power to give all of us eternal life, an inheritance with the saints in light. In His Father's house, He said, are many rooms. And He went to prepare a place for those who treasure Him. And He'll come back and take us to where He is, that where He is, we may be also. Tim mentioned this verse in Sunday school this morning, Psalm 16:11. In His presence is fullness of joy. And at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. Jesus is the true rich young ruler. And unlike the rich young ruler who could not sell what he had and give it to the poor, Jesus Christ. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you by His poverty might become rich. That's the gospel. He sold all that He had, and He gave it to the needy, who is us. And He bids us to follow Him and to treasure Him above all things. Think about how silly it is to lose the kingdom of God and hold on to possessions and wealth. So in summary, to follow Jesus Christ means to treasure Jesus Christ. I don't know if you know that or not. You may have prayed a sinner's prayer in your life. Be careful, listen to what I'm saying. You may have prayed a sinner's prayer in your life and never treasured Jesus Christ. Do you treasure Him? Is He the most precious thing in all the world to you? To follow Jesus means to treasure Him. Number two, only God by His grace can cause anyone to treasure Christ. So if you're not a believer, if you don't know Jesus Christ, then today would be the day that you would cry out to God and say, "Open my eyes and let me see the beauty and worth and value of this man, Jesus." And if you are a believer, then you should cry out to God every day and say, "Please don't let my job and my degree and my house and my car and my family, my security, my stocks, my investments, don't let them be my treasure." Why? Because choosing to treasure Christ will be worth it. It'll be worth it. Choose your treasure. Choose your treasure. Jesus Christ or something else. Let's pray together. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, I know that this is not a bullet that I can dodge. Guard our hearts, Lord, from thinking that You're talking to someone else, because maybe we don't have as much as someone else. But it's all about our heart, Lord, we know. So I pray, would You work in our hearts? Would You show us what we treasure most? And would You cause us by Your grace to let it go, to sell it all, and give it to the needy if we have to, and lay up treasures in heaven and follow You. Thank You, God, that we have the promises that our life in Christ is not a waste of time, but we will enjoy You forever. When this world is gone, and You make a new heavens and a new earth. Until that day, Lord, would You satisfy us with Yourself. Do that by Your Holy Spirit. Pray for every single person in this room, including myself, that You would work in us, do surgery, convict, prune, encourage. Let there be, anoint us with a healing ointment. Mold us and shape us into the people that we need to be. We pray. You hear our prayers only because we are in Christ.